You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guest is California Assemblyman Chris Rogers. He represents District 2, which includes Northern California's coastal regions. He recently introduced Assembly Bill 2494 to modernize California's 14 demonstration forests. Welcome to the Exchange, sir.
Yeah, good morning.
So let's start with a definition. What is a demonstration forest?
The easiest way for you to think about demonstration forests are the forests that are owned by the state of California.
Okay, I think we just lost the assemblyman. He was saying that demonstration forests are owned by the state. So we're going to work on getting him back. And while we're doing that, just to let you know that he introduced California Assembly Bill 2494 on February 20th. So this is fairly recent. And it just basically says that existing law authorizes the Department of Forestry and Fire Protection to engage in management of state forests and defines management for purposes of the state forests as a means of handling forest crop and forest soil to achieve maximum sustained production of high-quality forest products, while giving consideration to values relating to, among other values, recreation, watershed, and wildlife. So my assumption is that these forests are being managed to provide some sort of product, and I'm not sure what those outcomes will be, but when we get the assemblyman back, we'll let you know. So at the moment, we're still trying to get him back on the line, but we're having a little bit of a difficulty. I think now we do have him.
Yes. Sorry, Mike. Seems like we're having some troubles this morning.
Okay. So, Assemblyman, you were saying that the definition of a demonstration forest, and I just, while you were gone, I was reading a little bit from the actual bill, but if you could continue to tell us in simplistic terms, what is a demonstration forest and why does the state have them?
Yeah, so demonstration forests, I think the easiest way for people to understand them is that they are state-owned forests that are separate from the state park system, separate from federal forests, which is abundant in California. And they were acquired primarily to be able to continue to advance a rebuild for San Francisco after the massive earthquake. A lot of the lumber that was used to rebuild that city actually came from the North Coast. And that's why if you look at the demonstration system, there's 14 different demonstration forests, but really about half of it comes from Mendocino County with Jackson Demonstration State Forest. That was the primary purpose of it.
Okay. So how does AB 2494 redefine what we're actually demonstrating to the public?
Yeah, so it has been over 50 years since we have actually updated our management practices in California in statute. And in some of the demonstration forests do it a little bit different than others, but for the most part, it's based on a principle called maximum sustained production, which really focuses on being able to take the most fiber out of the forests. And even though the demonstration forests do some research, that's been a particular concern for folks. The last time somebody tried to update these forest practices was about 20 years ago when Assemblymember Wes Chesbrough, who also previously had been in the Senate, tried to do this as well. What we are really looking at is taking it from an economically focused, and frankly, that's what sustains the forest, is the economics of it, to recognizing that we now have broader climate and recreation goals. We have a 30 by 30 goal in the state of conserving 30% of the land by 2030. The governor's had a big push on that. We have very ambitious greenhouse gas reduction goals. And Jackson Demonstration State Forest, as well as the other demonstration state forests, are some of the highest carbon sequestering land per acre that exists on this planet. So what we have done is we have instead said, rather than having the economics of the forest drive its management, that we should have management that's driven by carbon sequestration, climate adaptation, fire management to make sure that we're doing appropriate thinning, as well as recreation, and we've kept that research component in it, since that is pretty important for the industry as a whole.
Okay, so let's take those individually. Tell me more about carbon sequestration.
Yeah, if you look at the state's goals of trying to be carbon neutral by 2045, and again, I come from a community that has felt this thing of climate change. I was on the city council when we had the Tubbs fire back in 2017 in Santa Rosa, and we have leaned in on that commitment to reduce our carbon footprint so that way we can try to help protect communities and make them more resilient. And we also know that the ability for the state to get to zero greenhouse gas emissions is nowhere on the horizon. But the idea of a net zero, wherein which we are sequestering carbon as part of this, as well as reducing our overall greenhouse gas impact, is the way that we're going to get there. And I mentioned redwood forests are the highest sequestering forests by acre. And one of the things that's particularly interesting about the way that Jackson Demonstration Forest has been managed up to this point is that it actually runs contrary to the tenets of sustainable forestry as well as its mission. What tends to happen is they remove the trees that are worth the most, which exposes the canopy, and it actually ends up leading to more of our trees not being able to grow and not sequestering as much carbon. And in fact, the trees that are taken are usually the highest stores of carbon in that forest, that oftentimes the byproduct of it is left to be able to decompose, and instead it ends up releasing additional greenhouse gases that had been stored. So that's a primary focus of this bill.
So tell me about fire management.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the science has been very clear, and especially in our district, we have the highest concentration of indigenous tribes out of anywhere in the state. We know that for a millennia, California managed its forests with fire. And what we see right now is overcrowded forests where when you take that top canopy, you have a bunch of little trees that grow on top of one another, and it actually is too thick. And rather than allowing for fire to run under the trees and not catch the canopy, it actually, the density of it helps further the cause of the fire moving through our communities. It actually puts everybody at jeopardy. So what this does is it recognizes that role that trees have to play in how we manage them. Again, this is not a bill that says don't ever touch a tree. It says that we're going to just change our management practices and how we address it. But then even if you want to go downstream, pun intended from that, not just how we manage the trees, but how do we manage the roads that are next to our streams? How do we make sure that it's a healthy habitat? Because I think we've really learned that, especially when it comes to fish species recovery, when it comes to making our forests more resilient, that it is actually a complex ecosystem that needs to recognize dual purposes.
My guest is Assemblyman Chris Rogers of District 2. He introduced Assembly Bill 2494, which seeks to modernize the management of California's 14 demonstration forests. Now, Assemblyman, you mentioned indigenous leaders, and let me just say this. Indigenous leaders in California have noted that they have historically been shut out of managing their ancestral homelands. How does your bill address that?
Yeah, it encourages co-management practices, and the system is already moving in this general direction where in which the tribes who have historically worked the land have now gotten more access back to their sacred sites. But to the point that was made about fire, many of our tribes have utilized fire to maintain that canopy for a really long time, and having some ability to draw on that expertise has been really important, and CAL FIRE is actually doing a really good job of moving in that direction in the state already. We just wanted to make sure that it was codified in the law to recognize the good work that they are currently doing on that practice.
Well, your bill emphasizes the inclusion of traditional ecological knowledge. So tell me, why is this perspective essential now for modern wildfire resiliency and watershed restoration?
Yeah, I think that what we have seen, especially over the last decade in California, is that fire suppression is no longer the appropriate way to manage our resources. And in fact, what it is doing is creating too much fuel that then furthers these mega fires and really puts our communities at jeopardy. Aside from this bill, we also have been working on a bill called the Good Fire Act, wherein which we are working with our tribal communities. That's AB 1699, that does draw on those practices. I went up and I spent 3 days with the Karuk tribe in Humboldt County to learn more about how they manage their land with fire, and took some of those practices to codify in law to make it easier for folks to use prescribed burns or beneficial fire to manage large swaths of the forest. What we currently see in the forest system is because many of these big trees have been removed and that overall canopy is gone, it's allowed the proliferation of other types of invasive species and weeds that are more flammable and actually make us less fire resilient. So this is all going to work in conjunction, those two bills together, to be able to address the safety aspects that we are seeing, particularly on the North Coast.
Well, given that these management principles haven't been updated in decades, why is this change critical for California right now?
I think that anytime we are talking about how best to meet our land management goals and our 30 by 30 goals, we need to not be afraid to have difficult conversations. And I mentioned that nobody has even tried this in 20 years. That means that nobody has even tried this since the state has recognized climate change or the importance of forests and carbon sequestration in meeting those climate goals. We need to have that conversation. And I think because there's such a history of the timber industry and the environmental industry fighting each other in the state, it's been difficult for folks to want to try to tackle that and instead stay at this sort of detente where, quite frankly, Jackson Demonstration State Forest hasn't really had any timber that's been removed the last few years because of these fights around management. What we think that we can do is create kind of a grand bargain between the two that will allow for a reasonable and environmentally focused management of the forest, where in which you will see timber that is continuing to be harvested, but it will also lead to ecological restoration. The other impetus for this is that the county of Mendocino, where the forest is located, has put in their legislative platform their desire to change the management practices at the Jackson Demonstration State Forest because they really want to focus on ecotourism. They know that that's a substantial opportunity for them to create economic development and create jobs and get people into the forest to be able to enjoy them. And they just made that change last November. So we've been working in close partnership with our locals to make sure that the land is managed in a way that furthers their economic goals as well.
Well, Supervisor Ted Williams of Mendocino County mentioned that rural communities are struggling as extractive industries dwindle. How does your bill help with the economic transition for these areas?
Yeah, and there's also a really good report that I'll point to from a group called Redwoods Rising that's up in Humboldt and Del Norte counties that looks at the economic value of restoration projects on the North Coast. Not just the amount of money that gets put into actually doing the projects, but the economic multiplier of creating those jobs in that area. That's one of the things that Mendocino County is looking at, is without a huge economic base to be able to bolster the services that they provide in the county, how do we grow the economy and how do we grow jobs? And while there are timber jobs, and as I said, this won't prevent timber harvesting, and in fact, there's some studies that are showing that it would create additional jobs to do this, it does open up other opportunities like ecotourism. There's a pretty big mountain biking community that wants to be able to participate in our forests as well, and as well as mushroom foraging, which you cannot do in federal forests. And so this is a prime opportunity for them to bring people to those communities as well. So whether it's Ukiah or Fort Bragg that relies on those visitors to come, it would help to spur economic development for them.
Okay, we have about 30 seconds left. What's the status of this bill?
We just introduced it, so you can't amend a bill or hear it in committee for 30 days. So we anticipate that it'll be set in the Natural Resources Committee probably by the end of March.
Okay, quick follow-up. Here's a paradox. If California reaches a point where it no longer relies on timber harvesting for revenue, how will the Timber Regulation and Forest Restoration Fund be used to maintain these forests?
Yeah, so I'm glad you asked. That's actually in the bill. Is you have a timber tax that has historically gone to help get timber harvest plans across the finish line. This bill would help to streamline that process and open up some of that revenue, which has been sitting in an account unused, to be able to further additional projects as well in the forest. So that way, it's not just the harvesting of timber that helps fund the forest work, but also the state of California is putting its money where its mouth is to support this treasure.
Okay, this was very informative. Thank you so much, Assemblyman.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
My guest was California Assemblyman Chris Rogers.